I'm convinced that tradition is created for the guys up here, because otherwise you got to really be on your game to know when and what to do. And like anything, we become creatures of habit, and we know exactly what we know. And if it changes just a little bit, it throws us all off. And especially me, I am exactly that. Isn't it a wonderful day to be here today? It is great looking out and seeing all of you this morning. And I know if you're like me, Sundays are a blessing. It is my time to re-energize, to come close to the family, my family and the family of God, that we can grow together and get ready for another week. I've been a little negligent this year. Renee and I have been working with Royal Family Kids Camp for about 7-8 years. I can't even remember now. And as a part of that, we try to encourage others to take part of that work, which is to work with children in foster care who are wards of the state. It's a little difficult because you have to go through a little bit of training and so forth, but 1 week out of the year, we go to a camp, and the one we do is in Granbury. I don't think there's one closer to us here. There may be one somewhere in East Texas, but if you have an interest in helping kids, and it's just 1 week out of every year, talk to us so that we can tell you more about it. It's something that is wholly worth your time, because it makes a real difference in a child's life. And I know we have some work similar to that here, but it's something I'm very passionate about, and we would like to share with you. I want to get directly into our lesson, because I don't have a clock on the back wall, and my only idea of when I should quit is when everybody starts dozing off, so just beware. I want us to talk about God's Word today. You know, when we get up here in front of you, there's nothing in this Bible that I can tell you that you can't read for yourself. So I have to consider what my job is this morning. And is the preacher's job is to inspire, to bring to thought things that maybe we haven't considered, or maybe we don't spend enough time pondering. And so as we read the scripture this morning, we start to analyze a very important text that helps us to understand just how vital the Word is. So if you come away from here this morning and you're not sure what I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to tell you we need to get into God's Word. And I hope that the Spirit will work through me this morning to give us a little boost of energy that says, you know, I want to be in the Word. I want to know what God has to say to me. And if you notice me being a little precarious with the PowerPoint this morning, it is not something that I use very often. And I don't know if you've ever bought a new car and been going down the road trying to figure out all the buttons and stuff, and the windshield wipers are going, the lights are going on and off. That may be what my PowerPoint looks like this morning. So, as I say the word Bible, is this what comes to mind? Because as time goes by and things change, God's Word doesn't change, but what it looks like might. That's what mine looks like this morning. And the good thing about that is, boy, I can find things really quick in my Bible. You know, we do sword practice in a Wednesday night class with the kids. We look up verses and get them used to finding things. And you know, I don't know if you're like me, you get to the minor prophets and you're looking over in the index a little bit because you have a hard time finding them. Well, these things, you don't even have to do that. But what we hope is that everyone's Bible, whether it's electronic or otherwise, looks just like this. This is the sign of me using my Bible. You know, when I first started studying the Bible, I wanted to keep it real neat and nice, and the thing that I carried with me on Sundays was pristine. But that really isn't doing it justice. I like nothing better than to see an old Bible that has just beat up and worn out. You know, that's what I hope to look like the day that the good Lord takes me home. I want Him to use me up to my fullest. And that's what our Bibles need to look like. We need to make sure that we're using them. Because do we really stop and think about how vital God's Word is to us? You know, there are times in our lives when we've had our Bible, we put it on a shelf, and that's where it stays. It collects dust. It does nothing. But how detrimental is that to us as Christians? It's not enough for me to say, I know there's a God. I believe in Him. I'm all right. How do I know what God wants from me? It's through this Word, and only by this Word can I do this. Now, this Scripture, John 17:16, says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, and they also might be sanctified through the word of truth. Now, this is a truly profound piece of scripture. And if we do nothing else this week, meditate on this. Look at the truth that is in these words. What does it mean? And the longer we ponder on this, the more we're going to realize how vital and necessary God's word is to my life. What happens is, as I get into this word and I start studying what he means by sanctify, I realize he's talking about being set apart. That he's talking about making me holy, to consecrate. He is doing something with me more than I can do with myself. He is making me what he wants me to be. See, God's word guides us to his presence. It brings us to him. Why is this necessary? Because what God is. God is love. God is light. God is pure. God is righteous. I'm not those things. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" You see how these things are at odds? And if I am evil, how can God have anything to do with me? So he has to prepare me and create me so that I can have that relationship with him that he desires, that he has desired from the very beginning. If we go back and we start studying our Old Testament, and this is part of what I want us to inspire to do, is to understand the value of the Old Testament and how it works hand in hand with the New Testament. As we read these accounts of history, I'm not going to call them just a story because that might mislead us to thinking they're something more than what they are. They are truth. They are accurate history. And so as I read these things, and I look at their lives, and I stop and think, well, what does that have to do with me? It has everything to do with me, and that's what I want us to look at this morning. You know, we can go back to the garden, and we can read about Adam and Eve, and what went on there. God had created this perfect world, and he spoke all these things into existence. But you see a different relationship with man. He creates man from dust, and he breathes life into his nostrils. You see this loving care that he takes for what he does with man. He loves man. And so all these things were created for him. And very shortly, we see this, the separation due to rebellion and sin. And God casts them out of that garden because they can't live forever there because of the sin in their lives. And so we see the beginning of this ongoing relationship that God's trying to draw man close to him. Man constantly sins and pulls himself away from God. And God desperately wants us to be close to him. And we see this story over and over throughout the Bible. And so we see men filling the earth and they have children. And before you know it, there's a lot of people in the world. A lot of sinful people. In fact, they're so wicked that God repents that he ever made man. Every imagination is evil is what it says. And so we see a hint of God's wrath and his love as he chooses Moses to give his word. This word that sanctifies us. It was to him a little different because he doesn't have the written word that we have today, but he was given instruction just like every one of us. And he followed it wholly to do the things that God does. Now, I want us to think about what he was given. God tells this man who lives in a dry world, I mean, it does not rain. He says, build an ark because I'm going to flood the world. That's insanity to the world around him. And not only am I going to tell you how to do it exactly, but it's going to take you a really long time. And while you're doing it, you can encourage all these people to come with you, but it isn't really going to work out too good, is it? So he builds this ark on dry land. It takes him like 100 years to do this. It's a really long time. And what he's doing looks insane to the world around him, but by faith, he does those things that God has given him to do. Do you know people look at us the same way? When we tell them that there's going to be an end someday and God is going to deliver us if we do the things he says, to the world, that seems very insane. But we're doing exactly the same thing. And we are motivated just like him by faith. And so if we need an idea of how few were saved, you look at this 8 people out of the entire world. This is a glimpse of the straight and narrow. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. You see how these Old Testament accounts give us an idea of how things work in our world today? We may live under a different law, but the idea is the same. And it can help us to fully understand what God has us to understand. Okay, so when we go a little further into the Bible, we see more of these stories of God showing His love and man sometimes being obedient, sometimes not. And God continually forgiving and bringing them back and punishing and bringing them back. It's really discouraging, and it's real easy for us as we're studying to go, what were they thinking? But that's me. I do it all the time. I am so imperfect. I make all the same mistakes, but it's so easy for me to point them out when it's somebody else. So when we get to the New Testament, and you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see another example of this that is written very clearly for us. In 1 Corinthians 10, in 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." Now, I want us to understand this word ignorant means a lack of knowledge. It's not really a negative connotation. I want you to understand this. So that's why he's telling us. "How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." So we are given an account, and it's spelled out very clearly, of this imagery of the Old Testament that helps us to understand our New Testament walk. We can look at God's children as they were in Egypt, in sin, and oftentimes it's referred to that way, and they were in bondage, and we see the oppression that is put upon them. And then we see God delivering a messenger, one who would deliver them, Moses, a type of Christ, who does this for us. And as Moses goes and stands before Pharaoh, and you know what all they went through to get out of Egypt. And they're led out of Egypt, and they were to go through the sea. You know, he could have went three different directions, but no, God takes them the impossible way, through the sea, the Red Sea. And of course, we remember the story. Moses parts the sea through God's power, and they cross over on dry land, and of course, Pharaoh's troops are all destroyed in the sea. It took a certain amount of faith to get them there, didn't it? And all those things are just like us today. We're given these same principles in the New Testament. And we're asked to follow them by faith. But God, there's a number of ways I could do this, and going towards the sea is not it. But it's not up to us to question God, but to just simply trust God, because that's what He desires. And so, as we look at this story, we see that as they come up out of their baptism, so to speak, into this wilderness, that it wasn't over. It's not just that. They are just beginning. And we're warned about what happens next. And we can go back and read all the accounts where Israel tempted God because they just didn't trust Him. "God, you brought us out here to starve us. Oh, you brought us out here so that we wouldn't have water and that we'd be miserable." God took care of their every needs. But isn't that me? Don't I do the same thing? Every time I go through trials and tribulations, don't I do the same thing? "God, why have you brought me here? Just to make me miserable?" I'm just like them. And so as I read these stories, I can apply them to my life. But here's the trouble. If I don't read the stories, how can I apply them? How can I know what God's desire is for me? I've got to be in the Word. You know, I always have the best intentions. Man, I want to work out. I want to be, you know, ripped like those guys on TV. But I'm not. I got off of my slides. Let's go back here a little bit. See, this is the advantage whenever you're doing it without the PowerPoint. You can just keep going. Nobody knows the difference. That guy's not ripped. No, the thought that I should be talking about is the fact that this is what we think of oftentimes when we think of priests. And what God has called us to be is just that, His priest, His people. This is what we should be thinking about. Do we really realize we are the saints of God? Do we realize that He has called us to be that peculiar people? That's us. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation." How special do you feel? You are a chosen generation. "A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth The praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, we can go back to the Old Testament and we can look at what the priests were under the law. They looked different from the other people. They stood out. They were sanctified. Isn't that what God calls us to be? 22:1 it said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, and they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, that they profane not the holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord. Say unto them, Whosoever he be of all your seeds among the generations that goeth unto the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from the presence. I am the Lord." God has called us to be this peculiar people, those who are set apart, those that are different. And God's not talking about a guy standing up here. He's talking about you. We are His royal priesthood. And what we handle are the things that are holy. We are to be sanctified, to be able to be brought before God, to be close to Him, to not be full of sin. That's what Jesus came to do for us, to take away that sin so that we could approach Him. Sanctify them through that truth. That's the key. I cannot do this without the Word of God. I have to be in the Word of God that it can be in me. How many times do we see David write about how much he loves the Word of God? That it is sweet to the taste. That it is something he desires all day long to meditate on. You see, this is the inspiration we need as Christians. We need to have that desire to be in God's Word, that we can be the people that He wants us to be. But oftentimes, we don't follow after that. We lose that desire and that sincerity that we need. That's the guy I was looking for. You know, I want to look like that physically, but I should want to look like that spiritually. How do I get to looking like that? Is it sitting on the couch watching TV? That's what I look like. I have the greatest desire in the world to be the other guy, yet this is where I am more times than not. And I do this spiritually too. One of the reasons I preach is because I know I need something to make me study every day. I've got pretty good read habits, but I don't have pretty good study habits. And if I have things in my life that will spur me on, then I will study correctly. In the real world, we have hunger to make us want to go to food. In spiritual world, we don't always have that hunger. What does he say in Luke 4 and 4? "And Jesus answered and said, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, by every word of God." How many meals do we miss? I don't miss any. In fact, I pick up a few extras along the way. And it shows. But do we do that spiritually? When we don't feed ourselves on the Word of God, we become malnourished. We become very weak and feeble. And everything the devil throws at us, we fall for because we have no strength in ourselves. But when we're full of God's Word, just like when Jesus went into the wilderness, we have Scripture to reply to Him. When He tempts me, I have a Scripture that says, "Thou shalt not." It's real easy for me to use those things. But without the Word, I have nothing to lean upon. This Scripture is one of my favorites because it reminds me of what I must do. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, He calls us a workman. You don't get a name like that taking it easy. It is required that I do something. Diligent is used more times than not in the Bible when it talks about what I must do to please God. Diligently seek Him. But a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to be a Bible scholar. I need to be in the Word constantly. And I don't have to go to some college somewhere to achieve that. God has given me His Spirit so that I can understand it. And that Spirit, if I allow Him, will lead me to know all truth. I don't need to go to the Word with some kind of agenda or how I can prove myself right about something. I totally miss the point when I do that. I go to God's Word to find out what He has for me to know and how I'm to live my life. And when I read those things, it's only by faith that I follow them out. My question to you and to myself, am I studying God's Word? Am I doing the things that I need to do to allow Him to work in me? If I'm in His Word and I fill myself up full of those things, then when temptation comes, I do have a fighting chance. Why? Because His Spirit is working in me. And what happens is when I plant these seeds in me, things are going to start growing and they're going to produce and I'm not going to be able to stop it. That fruit of the Spirit is going to be evident in my life. If I have to go around telling folks I'm a Christian and they don't know otherwise, it's not happening. And this congregation, I'll do a testimonial for this group. We have work here. We have a lot of good work that is produced by God and glorifies God. And that's one of the reasons we stopped here. We looked at a lot of congregations, and I saw some dead congregations out there. And I'm very sorry for them. But what God is doing through us here is seen in the community. People have no doubt about the love for each other and the love for our fellow man around us. And that is exactly what we want. Let us be encouraged this week to get back into the Word. And if we haven't been doing that, let's look at how we can study, how I can read this stuff day to day and find out how the Old Testament teaches me about the New Testament to make me a better scholar of God's Word. This is our lesson for today. And if you have a need, whatever it might be, you can come as we stand and sing.